From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. If one thinks of a state as a business, it's a business that takes in a lot of money and also spends a lot of money. The entity in charge of managing where that money comes and goes is largely up to the treasurer of the state. In Oregon, our state treasurer, Elizabeth Steiner, is carrying on a tradition of investing the state's money in a variety of places, including a large portion in environmentally sustainable programs and companies. Additionally, a good deal of the state's pension program derives money from clean energy and other environmental projects. Today on the show, you'll hear from Steiner, as well as a partner in these kinds of environmental investments, the Sierra Club, and learn how clean energy has been and continues to be a good bet for Oregon's financial future. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Over the decades, few industries have been safer investments than oil companies. But in Oregon, the state has seen great returns on investing in clean energy. Today on the show, Oregon's treasurer talks about this strategy. Oregon Treasurer Elizabeth Steiner and the Sierra Club's Oregon Director Damon Motz-Story, welcome to you both. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting.
Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Treasurer Steiner, I'm going to start with you. We want to talk about some of the climate positive investments that the state of Oregon has made. But let's back up a bit and kind of take us under the curtain a little bit. How do you and your team go about making investments in general? Sort of what's the criteria?
Well, that's a great question. And the first criteria is that we're investing, especially our pension fund, for the long term, right? Today, we are investing for April 23rd, 2056. And tomorrow we'll be investing for April 24th, 2056. We work on a 30-year time horizon because that's what a pension fund should do. We've got to have it available forever. So we look to diversify our portfolio across a bunch of different kinds of assets, whether that's fixed income like bonds or publicly traded stocks or private equity or a whole host of other kinds of things, so that when one part of the market does well, we do great, but we aren't dependent on that one thing because different asset classes change.
Sure.
So we look to diversify our portfolio across different asset classes and lots of different market segments, different types of companies, different types of businesses. And when we do that, some of our investments we do internally, which means we make decisions about which company to invest in or which bonds to buy. And some of it we outsource to experienced managers who have on the public side what are called exchange-traded funds, or on the private side who have a good track record of building private equity funds that, from our perspective, behave in the right ways, with some air quotes there, where they're looking to truly build value in companies.
Okay. I'm going to stay with you because I know you were a champion of something called the Climate Resilience Investment Act. Tell our audience, you know, what was that? What does it do?
We're really excited about the Climate Resilience Investment Act, which we refer to as CREA.
Okay.
And the Climate Resilience Investment Act passed in 2025. It's a pretty straightforward bill, and it just says a few things. The first is it says we always have to focus on our fiduciary responsibility, which means we always need to remember that we are the stewards of the pension fund and every other large fund that Treasury invests. The second thing it says is that in the context of being fiduciaries, when possible, we should focus on climate positive investing because that is where the world is going. And we need to work on reducing the carbon footprint of Oregon's portfolio and simultaneously make money. And the third thing it says is we have to be transparent about it. So we have to report to the legislature every 2 years. So we're very excited about that. And we'll be issuing our first report on that in January of 2027.
Okay. Damon, I'm going to go to you with the Sierra Club. How does the Sierra Club sort of get involved in advocating for you states to spend on programs like the Climate Resilience Investment Act, you know, through pension funds and that sort of a thing?
We have a lot of different things that we work on, including a sustainable finance campaign that works on advocating with and advising different pension funds across the country on their progress towards shifting towards climate positive investments and using every tool available at their disposal to be pushing for decarbonization, climate action, climate resilience, and a just transition, meaning that the most impacted people are put first for the benefits of the clean energy transition. So those are some of the values that are at play, and it's a really rare and exciting opportunity to get to advocate for these issues, because a lot of people don't think about environmental justice or climate action when they think about pensions and investment policies, right? But it really has a huge, profound impact, and we can make a lot of positive change through some of the ways that we structure our policies for our investments. And Oregon really has been doing quite well. I'm happy to talk about that a little bit more, but we were huge supporters of the Climate Investment Act, the CREA that Treasurer Steiner was just talking about.
Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking to Oregon Treasurer Elizabeth Steiner and also the Sierra Club's Oregon Director Damon Motz Story. Treasurer Steiner, I'm going to go back to you, because is utilizing the public pensions towards environmental sustainability, is that a fairly new strategy that's come about in the last few years?
Well, so Oregon has had a ESG, or environment, social, and governance lens on our investing for quite some time now.
Okay.
And we do that because we believe those factors are material, which means that they have a financial impact on the companies that we invest in. So as we make the decisions that I was talking about earlier about which funds to invest in or which companies to invest in, we are asking questions about their environmental practices, about their social practices, about how they treat their workers and how their boards are constructed. Because the evidence shows that paying attention to those things improves a company's bottom line, right? And fundamentally, as a fiduciary, as the steward of a pension fund, we are obligated to think about what's going to help companies do well, companies that we invest in do well. So we have to have them paying attention to those issues. So lots of pension funds across the country are thinking hard about these issues. Many are starting to make big commitments toward climate positive investing. We are the first state in the nation to actually pass legislation to support that.
Okay. Damon, you were mentioning that Oregon is doing pretty well with this. Talk about that. Expand upon what you mean by doing well.
Yeah, happy to. And, I think it's just amazing that Treasurer Steiner has been making climate such a big focus of your time as our state treasurer, because we really can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can deliver, strong fiduciary returns to pensioners who have dedicated their lives to public service. And that doesn't come at the expense of climate action. We can do both, right? And in fact, one of the things that has been most pleasantly surprising to me is that oftentimes, the investments that are best for the earth and best for human public health and well-being are also the ones giving us the best financial returns. Mm-hmm. So it's just sound investment policy to be pursuing climate positive investments. And Oregon is one of the only a few states in America to have both a net zero policy, a net zero investments policy, and a climate solutions investment policy. And so there's real plans here. And as Treasurer Steiner said, actual policy that no other state has. That directs us to pursue this work. And those plans focus on not just public equities, but real world investments in climate solutions, assets, and infrastructure. That's really important. That means that some of the money that is being invested by the Oregon Public Pension Fund is going to real projects that are building renewable energy in communities and leading to actual concrete benefits. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but we have a big voice in shareholder resolutions and the governance of some of the different companies that we're invested in, and the different votes on shareholder resolutions that have been made by Oregon have been really strong and have been a real leader among other state pension funds.
Treasurer Steiner, remind folks about the net zero program and what that means.
Yeah, my predecessor, Treasurer Reid, who's now our Secretary of State, mm-hmm. in 2024 issued a net zero plan. And fundamentally, the goal there is to reduce the carbon footprint of our portfolio, the emissions intensity of our portfolio by 60% by 2035, and get us to net zero by 2050. We're making great progress towards that. We issued a net zero report in January of this year. It's available on our website, and I urge interested listeners to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. It shows that if you compare the beginning of our portfolio during 2022 compared to our portfolio in 2023, our emissions intensity actually dropped already by 50%. Now, I want to be really clear. We don't get tons of credit for that. The market gets credit. And this is to Damon's point about walking and chewing gum at the same time. Exactly the point that we're making. It is absolutely possible, and we see this in our own portfolio, to make climate positive investments that do really, really well. In, for example, we have doubled. One of the things the net zero plan said was we are going to significantly increase our investment in climate positive, what are called real assets. Real assets are solar installations and battery storage places and things like that. In our portfolio, we doubled from $1.2 billion to $2.4 billion. And over the past 5 years, the climate positive investments have returned 20% on average. The carbon intensive investments in real assets have returned 12%. So we are making great money by doing climate positive investing. And we think we can continue to do that.
And I'm going to stay with you because I know a lot of folks sometimes wonder, I mean, does environmental sustainability pay off for business? And what you're saying is absolutely.
Yes. 100% yes. You know, and I think there's a lot of conversation now about actions made by the current federal administration to reduce federal investment in wind projects or solar projects. I'm not happy about that in the slightest, as somebody who cares deeply about the future of our planet. And that lack of investment creates more opportunity for investors like us, because the business community recognizes that we are moving toward a clean energy future.
Damon, you know, I think a lot of people, too, maybe don't realize how much sustainable energy like solar and wind have caught up to fossil fuel power generation. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's true. We've reached several global tipping points where, you know, renewable energy generation is starting to outpace some older, outdated forms of energy generation like coal power that are incredibly dirty and polluting, both in the near term and also causing this climate catastrophe that's unfolding. And so the truth of it is that the economy is much bigger than Trump. It's much bigger than America. And it means that that's going to factor in a lot of different things, right? There are a lot of different supply chains for renewable energy that have been scaled up over time, and that does not suddenly come to a screeching halt just because Trump was elected in 2024, right? So, you know, I think it's important to keep an eye on the bigger picture, and it is exactly true what Treasurer Steiner is saying. The economy is booming, and the renewable economy is booming, particularly, and moving forward, even though there's some serious headwinds from federal policy decisions that are being made in D.C. That is not stopping all of these projects. And in fact, some of the like pending wind projects that have been slowed down by executive orders have actually recently been successful in overturning some of those initial roadblocks that Trump tried to put in their way. So renewable energy is booming not just around the world, but also in America. And it means that these investment opportunities are increasingly important for us to get on board with, no matter how we feel about, you know, one source of energy versus another. It's just the best financial decision. And so I think that's really exciting, right? That signals that the work that activists have done globally to make this an urgent issue and to push up the existential justification for transitioning from fossil fuels to clean energy, it's been successful. It has moved us forward enough that we're seeing some snowballing momentum on this. We certainly can't rest on our laurels either. We have to continue to make intentional choices to do the right thing and invest even more in these solutions. But I think we can take heart in knowing that, you know, we shouldn't also collapse into a doom spiral just because we have some obstacles to progress in our capital.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Oregon Treasurer Elizabeth Steiner and the Sierra Club's Oregon Director Damon Motz. Story, we're talking about Oregon investments in sustainable energy and sustainable projects. Treasurer Steiner, you know, yesterday was Earth Day, and I just wanted to sort of talk to you about how important is it for state governments to sort of lead in this? Because obviously, you know, it does take investment, it does take leadership, it does take momentum. Talk about what you and the rest of the executive office have been doing in Oregon to sort of lead in this way.
You know, I think state action is really important. If you look at emission standards for cars, for example, it was California that led the way on that. And they set very rigorous emission standards many years ago. As a result, basically every car that comes into the United States, that's sold in the United States, meets those emission standards. And they led the way for what the federal government ultimately put into place as well. So states are, you know, as Jefferson said, the laboratory of democracy. And we are the places where we can often get something moving faster. You know, Governor Brown, when she was governor, put forward an executive order because we couldn't quite get cap and trade across the finish line in the legislature. She's done that, and that's a work in progress at the executive branch level, and it's been challenging court, but we're making some progress there. I had a meeting yesterday morning with a large group of climate advocates in the Eugene area, including the director of the Oregon Department of Energy, who's really committed and just put out a 5-point plan on energy transition and environmental transition and protection for Oregon in ways that we can move this conversation forward and still maintain affordability for Oregonians. So having a governor and a state treasurer and so many others who are committed to moving our climate in the right direction and to moving Oregon's energy utilization in the right direction makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Damon, I'm going to go to you because, yeah, as the treasurer just said about how important state leadership is, state government leadership is, you know, obviously Sierra Club, a very big driving force in environmental sustainability. Talk about the nonprofit community as well as the business community as being part of this solution and not necessarily, you know, fighting the headwinds against it.
Well, Oregon has such a green reputation and it's well-deserved, right? We've often been an incubator for some of the best environmental policy ideas that we've been able to then export to other countries, right? We had the nation's first bottle bill that leads to such high can recycling, right? And so then we also have really innovative land use policies that help to keep urban sprawl to a minimum, right? These are things that are, you know, unique and very foundational to like sort of the Oregon identity. And I think a lot of people feel really proud to be environmentalists here. And that really cuts across sectors. So we see a huge number of people in the business community who have these exact same values as everyday people who enjoy recreating in our outdoor places, right? So, you know, there is a huge public mandate for climate action in this state. And we've seen that play out and manifest. You know, there are a lot of amazing environmental interest groups that work together in a really unique kind of a coalition with sort of our more conventional climate advocates and business leaders for climate, but also environmental justice advocates who are pushing for, you know, good community outcomes for Black and brown communities and Native American communities and low-income folks, right? So it's a really huge and amazing coalition of advocates that have won some amazing victories over the years.
I was just going to say, there's one other thing I want to add about this. I think that we talked earlier in our conversation about the tipping point where renewable energy is now as affordable, if not more affordable, than electricity generated by fossil fuels, right? One of the things I learned in my 13 years in the legislature is that it's possible to frame the same argument in different ways. And not to be disingenuous, but to say it is simultaneously true, it is a both and, that moving toward renewable energy protects our planet, helps reverse some of the challenges that we're facing with climate change and a carbon-intensive environment, and it cuts the cost of the energy that businesses use to thrive, right? So it's really important to my mind that we have conversations that absolutely talk about all the things Damon's talking about and talk about the fact that to have a thriving economy in Oregon, we have to have affordable electricity, whether that's to make sure that or everyday Oregonians can pay their electric bill without it taking away from food or rent or other necessities, or it's to make sure that our businesses can pay their electric bills and help grow their businesses and grow our economy. It doesn't really matter to me, right? What matters is that it's a both and. So I think it's important for your listeners to think about the fact that this is not an either or. This is a both and conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to ask you the same question, both of you, for our last question. And so, Damon, I'm going to start with you. You talked about there are challenges from the federal government. You know, what is it that gives you optimism that not just Oregon, but the rest of the nation can sort of push through towards net zero, towards these kinds of audacious goals?
Yeah, that's a great question. What gives me hope is seeing how many everyday people have gotten organized or have spoken up about what they're unhappy about seeing with this current administration. I think that speaks to a huge drive and desire among communities to push for something better, not just in the 2026 midterms, but every day.
Treasurer Steiner, last word to you.
Boy, there are a lot of things that give me hope. The first is that, as I said, the business community recognizes that we're past the tipping point and that regardless of what the federal government says, we have to invest in renewable energy to continue to grow our country and to be able to serve Americans across the country and to set an example for the rest of the world. I think the other thing that excites me is, Damon mentioned the challenges of data centers. There's a really intriguing company in Portland called Panthalassa. I urge your listeners to take a look at it. That's looking at an innovative way to use wave energy with co-located servers to do the AI calculations, which would not have the environmental impact, would not take away from other resources, would not require clean water to cool the process. And we're looking at ways to simultaneously meet the needs of a future that has where AI has a big role without the adverse impact that David alluded to. So there's a lot of innovation going on in Oregon and across the nation and across the world to help get us to a clean energy and less carbon intensive future.
She is Oregon's treasurer, Elizabeth Steiner, and he is the Sierra Club's Oregon director, Damon Motz-Story. Really appreciate the conversation with both of you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for having us.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Monday on the show, a U of O political science professor will talk about the politics and political ramifications of the U.S. war in Iran. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.